Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you as always by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. I'm Dustin Hockensmith, and Greg Pickle is here with me. We're talking Penn State Pitt. We are looking at the 51-6 blowout win. All the good, all the bad. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 is going to join us a little bit later. We got your Pitt questions that came through the Ask Greg button on the Keystone Sports app. So we will talk all things Pitt really for a good solid 60 minutes. And why not? 51-6, big win for Penn State. Two in a row in that rivalry series. This one not really close. By the way, while we're talking about Penn State's schedule, wanted to let you know that it was so nice. Our buddy Mark at GoPSU RV had to do it twice. He's doing half-price RVs for the Kent State game this weekend. Same deal as Appalachian State. There'll be a Friday night tailgate from 6 to 9 p.m. You can check out 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue, Tailgate Wine, Shotzi's Brats. Check out all the details at GoPSURV.com. So, Greg, Penn State 2-0. They score 44 points unanswered against Pitt. They dominate the second half. Pitt, so sloppy. I'm trying to think back to, you know, all the Penn State games I've watched over, I don't know, 15 years, however long it's been. I just cannot recall a game that was so sloppy by one side. And it's not to take away from Penn State. And I don't even think it's taken away. I think Penn State fans are rejoicing in the sloppiness of Pitt, because it's a reflection to most on Pat Narduzzi, who is not the favorite person for a lot of Penn State fans.
No, I mean, I think that he's pretty well endeared himself to nobody across the college football world. I just don't really understand what his philosophy is. I mean, he'll stand up at the podium and say, you know, that it's his fault and yada, 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 and then he'll blame everybody else. And, you know, I don't want to go down a Nate Peterman path here, but I just don't.
All roads lead there, my friend. All roads lead there.
They typically do. I believe he was benched on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken.
And it couldn't have happened soon enough. Yeah. It was a bad weekend for Pitt.
Nice little roundabout way to talk about Penn State's 51-6 victory. But, yeah, I thought it was an impressive win. Penn State did obviously struggle in the first half, but just goes to show you, I think, when Penn State fires on all cylinders, and I don't think they played their best game yet, but when they fire on all cylinders, especially on special teams with the punting that Blake Gilligan was doing, pinning Pitt deep over and over again. I mean, Kenny Pickett looked like he just couldn't throw it down the field. I don't know if he wasn't willing to or it wasn't in the playbook, but he made the NFL version of Chad Pennington look like a strong-armed quarterback. I mean, he just was not going to do anything to challenge Penn State's secondary, which I think we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, Dan, to me, I think we probably learned more about Penn State when they played App State. I think App State probably beats Pitt by 21. I think they could.
That version of Pitt?
Yeah.
100%.
Is there a better version of Pitt?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. So, what was it? 220 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
On the ground.
Right.
Things just unraveled. And the reason behind the unraveling is the interesting part.
Right.
A lot of people want to believe that, you know, Pitt treating this like a
Super Bowl, is that the word you're looking for?
Yeah, so treating it like a Super Bowl, not just the weekly Super Bowl that Penn State plays, but treating it like it's such an important game, treating it differently, and the tone coming down from the top, and maybe they got tight, or maybe they, you know, the expectations were too much, or the pressure was too much. I don't really know about that, but it started just right off the bat whenever they win the coin toss, and they couldn't get the coin flip right.
Yeah.
They didn't make the right choice.
Right. And then you could see that he was angry. I was a little taken aback by that, too. I was hardly even paying attention to it, just assuming that Pitt was going to kick. And then they said they wanted the ball. And it really changed the game when you think about it. I mean, Penn State gets the ball in the second half. If Pitt gets the ball in the second half and it's able to come out and continue its run game success, who knows how this one ends. But instead, Penn State gets it, and they really just run with it and take over and dominate in the second half.
So I think for Pitt, you know, I think there are programs out there that have set this precedent that you can win football games and you can beat good teams and you can spring upsets. Pitt's one of them. You know, I think going back to 2016 against Penn State, they beat Clemson. Who else? Miami they beat.
Yep.
On their best day, Pitt can play with a lot of different teams. Saturday was not their best day, but you can build a program that can win games despite playing with a pretty consistent talent deficit on paper. It's through development and coaching and organization and all that. And Pitt, when they're playing probably a fair number of ACC teams, certainly when they're playing Penn State, they're playing at a talent deficit. If they're crisp and organized and physical and they stick to their philosophy, which their philosophy, I think over the past, you know, the first 30 minutes of this past weekend, in 2016 when they won, and even in 2017 when they held the ball for 39 minutes or almost 39 minutes, whatever, yeah. Their philosophy clashes with what Penn State wants to do. They want to hold the ball, and they want to they're going to soften you up, and they're going to go outside, they're going to go inside. When they're in that rhythm running game, that's a hard thing for Penn State to stop. And I think at the end of the day, this was a really good opponent for Penn State to face, because they had to confront one of their chief weaknesses just head on. And in the second half, it's tough to say whether Pitt unraveled or whether Penn State really held their ground. I think there was a little bit of both, but Penn State got a lesson in how to stop the run, and it's a lesson that they can carry with them forward. Now, to take that and apply that to a team that can actually threaten you through the air,
right?
Would the Pickett finish with 30 yards?
I don't even know if it was that many.
It
was not good.
You can't go on like that. I don't care how good you are with your philosophy and how your power running game. Wisconsin can't just run behind Jonathan Taylor. And no offense to Kadri Allison, but he's not Jonathan Taylor.
No, not at all. And the same thing applies, I think, to a team like Michigan, who Penn State will see in November. And just the fact that they are going to be able to run the ball. And Shea Patterson, you know, that was incredible. Michigan had its first receiving touchdown in like 364 years
by a wide receiver. Yeah, that's phenomenal.
That's unheard of, but that's what Penn State will be facing. I mean, though it might be a little bit more like Pitt in that game, but I just think that we learned something about Penn State in this victory. I'm just not really sure what, because, again, Pitt was not very good, and Penn State really just took advantage of all their weaknesses. They had, what, 9 penalties or 14 penalties for over 100 yards. I mean, Pitt just endlessly shot itself in the foot. But I will say this, the one thing I think you can take away from this and feel good about is that when they had the chance to really take a kill shot, if you will, and put Pitt out of the game for good. It took a little bit, but they finally did it with DeAndre Tompkins' punt return touchdown. But the whole game changed to me, and I still don't understand what Pat Narduzzi was thinking. That fourth down play in the second quarter, they had a chance to kick a field goal to take a lead. Instead, they run it. I think the whole stadium knew what play was coming. They wasted a timeout to call that play, which was especially special. And everyone knew what was coming. Penn State stacks it up, and that really changed the game. I don't know if Pitt crossed midfield again until very late in the game after that.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Recapping Penn State Pitt. There's a lot to discuss there. Not a lot. Not all of it is good, especially on the opposing sideline. And by the way, whether you're going to a game at Happy Valley or you're having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats belong on your grill. These awesome brats are made with the finest ingredients using old-fashioned German recipe and supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. I love to combine supersize and brat in the same sentence. It's a phenomenal thing. Don't forget the jalapeno relish. It goes perfect with the brats. You can find them online, shotzisbrats.com, or you can visit them at the GoPSURV lot for every Penn State home game, which is awesome. Speaking of, you mentioned kill shot. I think Pitt was already dead, and and Penn State fired another couple kill shots. Any problem coming out of this game with number one having Sean Clifford drop back and throw it deep, and number two calling a timeout to set up a review of Ricky Slade's second fumble of the game? I don't have a problem with either of those.
No, and I think James Franklin made a good point after the game, though, that turnovers, you know, you given the benefit of the doubt in the rain, and I'm not sure that, you know, the last one was a fumble, you know, and we can get into the whole should James Franklin have challenged that up 51-6 or not, but at the end of the day, I think that, you know, the first one was kind of iffy, and probably a little bit of weather had something to do with that, a little bit of probably nerves and playing on the road, freshman experience, etc., had to do with that. So I just think that it wasn't a problem. And to me, and this sounds a little bit weird, but it wasn't Miles Sanders. And I think that's the biggest thing, because we've seen Miles Sanders have fumble problems before in his career, but he looks good out there. And when he decides to run north-south, Dustin, he looks really good. He doesn't exactly remind you of Barkley, and who does? I mean, if you saw his 68-yard touchdown run the first of his NFL career, it was one of the crazy college runs that he had. And nobody can do that, but I think that when you look at what he's able to accomplish when he runs north-south, he can be one of the best backs in college football when he does it. There's too many times, though, that he doesn't do that, and that's a problem. But as for Ricky Slade, you know, again, I think you probably can chalk most of those up to weather. That said, I'm pretty sure he'll be walking around campus with a football just about all week long and heading into Kent State.
Yeah, I think – I don't know. I mean, I think as a young runner, having never played the running back position – I mean, in fourth grade I did, and I was pretty great at it, but – having never played the running back position, I can only anticipate, you know, in your mind when the game's moving fast and your inclination is to try to make big plays as a running back.
Right.
I think that's something that Miles Sanders is working his way through, and I think there's going to be some good film coming out of Pitt for him to sometimes just live to play another down kind of thing, and don't try to, you know, not everything's going to be a big gainer. You have to be content with taking a no gain or even a yard loss. But for Ricky Slade, you have to balance that with the focus on the football.
Right.
And the focus on the football is going to have to come first sometimes. And I think as a young runner, that's sometimes not the case. So here's just my take on the idea of calling timeout and reviewing that. I get it. And for the case for if you're putting your reserves in, to me, I don't care what the score is, that's enough. If I want to get my backup quarterback, my third string quarterback, I guess, an opportunity to play the game of football in a real live environment against a team that they've never played, personnel he's never seen, and give him a chance to throw the ball in an NFL stadium, I'm going to go for that. I'm not going to put my backup quarterback in and just hand the ball off. I understand the idea of that and respect for opponent. I'm not sure if this is Kent State or somebody else on Penn State's schedule, if they're doing that.
Right.
I think that's a whole separate discussion, but I think in this situation, it is enough to me to concede a win and let your reserves play a couple meaningful snaps. I don't see the problem in that. And then I also don't see the problem. I know going back to, you know, quote unquote icing the Georgia State kicker, that James Franklin's got this reputation that precedes him. Again, I'm not sure if it's a different opponent, but I felt like it was fighting for Ricky Slade and fighting for a turnover that didn't necessarily need to be on his shoulders when he's already got one. I thought that's what it came down to. Possession, whatever, in a 51-6 game, I think he wanted to try to help his freshman out.
Yeah, I mean, all things equal, I think just real quick on the Clifford thing, Penn State's offense is set up for the run pass option. We've talked about that to the end of time. Sometimes it's going to end up with touchdown passes like this late in games.
All right, we got more on the Penn State Pitt game. We're going to take a quick break, come back right after this. It was so nice. GoPSURV.com had to do it twice. Our guy Mark once again doing half price RV sales for Penn State, Kent State. So if you've been looking for a chance to check out what GoPSURV.com has to offer, you get a second chance that weekend. You can come see what they have to offer, including the Friday night before the game. You can check out 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue, Tailgate Wine, Labatt Blue Beer, and Shotzi's Brats. GoPSURV.com lot has so many other features as well. You can check them all out at GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.